This program is brought to you by MyTech1 and by Entelix.
The content, information, and opinions expressed during the related show are those of the show personalities and guest alone, and not those of Vic Kanellis Media Group, its parent, affiliates, or stations. VCMG Live is not responsible for any content, information, or opinions expressed. User bears full responsibility for their reliance on such content, information, or opinions.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. And the goal of our program is to provide community leaders here in South Florida a voice on how they are helping the community in a digital, hybrid, in-person world. We also want to educate the local community on how these community leaders and associated organizations are working with people in our area. We want to be the connective tissue with the South Florida industry to encourage collaboration, foster relationships, and improve fundraising and grant opportunities. We hope to create a more vibrant community so all businesses in South Florida can thrive. Thank you for joining us.
In today's digital world, security is everything. But who's protecting your business from cyber threats? At MyTech1, we specialize in cutting-edge cybersecurity and managed services that keep you safe, secure, and operational 24/7. Visit MyTech1, MyTechOne.com or call 1-844-MyTech1. That's 844-648-3241. Your trusted partner in cybersecurity.
Need reliable office solutions? DEX Imaging provides top-notch printers, copiers, and document management systems, along with cutting-edge software solutions to streamline your business workflows. Trust DEX Imaging for innovative technology and exceptional service. DEX Imaging, your partner in office productivity and your organization's profitability. For more information, call Tiffany Salas with DEX Imaging at 561-948-6363, extension 1339, or 954-643-0906.
Workplace violence is on the rise, and no industry is immune from it. Survival Response helps organizations prevent and prepare for unthinkable situations. Our program focuses on prevention as well as response, and we provide customized programs based on your unique situation. Visit us at www.survivalresponsellc.com for more information and to schedule a free consultation.
Do you have an aging parent who needs a helping hand? Look no further. Wisdom Senior Care is here to make life easier. From shopping trips to personal care, we got you covered. Whether it's companionship, Alzheimer's and dementia care, or just a little extra help, we're your trusted partner. At Wisdom Senior Care, we bring the joy back to daily life. Call us today at 954-779-5989 and let us take care of you and your loved ones. Because with us, you're family.
Good day and welcome to the South Florida Community Roundup. I'm your host, David N. Reese. And I'd like to thank you for giving time out of your busy schedule to listen to some of the top leaders right here in the South Florida community. Well, as you know, audience, this is the fourth Saturday of the month where I will have on my good friend Tasha B. And she is the host of Ladies Talk Cyber, featuring topics on innovation and solutions for business and everyday life.
Hi, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you for having me on. I feel so special.
I'm so excited. You know, I was stalking you right on LinkedIn and I was like, oh, I love what she's doing. And then come to find out we were in the same class doing your master's degree. I was like, I knew this lady.
Yes. A couple years ago.
Let's not. But I'm so excited to see what you're doing. I see you all over social media. And you know, through Ladies Talk Cyber, that's all what we're about. The irony is that we're doing this together and we went did our master's together and we're just making this happen. So, Dr. Johnson, please, you hold quite a few credentials behind your name. Tell me about yourself. Tell the audience.
Okay. Hi, my name is Dr. Natalie Foster Johnson. By day, I have the privilege of serving Broward County constituents, supporting compliance, governance, and security for the Fort Lauderdale International Airport, go critical infrastructure. In multiple hats that I wear, I am a lifetime Girl Scout, a Girl Scout for Girl Scouts of Southeast Florida. I am VP of Programs and Events for the South Florida chapter of Cybersity, and I don't like sleeping. I am also the co-founder of the amazing group of CyberMinds Research Institute. We focus on cyber resilience for critical infrastructure, K through 12 students, and older adults. So I do some of everything. I'm affectionately in my give back era. I'm having so much fun. Thank you for reaching out to me. I was told that I'm not out there enough. So I've been consciously trying to do better on LinkedIn, and I've pivoted to Instagram. So follow my Instagram at the_Dr. Resiliency. The whole pitch is over there as well.
But now that we reconnected, you know we're pulling you out. So we have a mission and we're going to drive that mission, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So Dr. Resiliency, I love it. Beautiful. How do you define resiliency in cybersecurity? Why did you decide to make that a critical focus?
This one goes back a few years. You know, I've been blessed to have different views of the industry, and resiliency is, I like to say, how you bounce forward, not bounce back. One thing we are 150,000% of is that old crap moment. And I'm not using the word crap, is going to happen for most organizations. At work today, Amazon got a little bit. Microsoft is getting it right now on their SharePoint vulnerability that came out for on-site today. So it's going to happen. The important part is how you bounce forward. So that focuses on equipping, you know, your people with the right training, the right technology. Are your policies? Do you have the tools and tricks to just bounce back? It's a mindset, and more organizations need to have that. And it's just where we are with technology, AI, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's definitely more prevalent today. What are you finding where you can be prepared for these type of events that occur?
It's not if, it's when. And knowing what's important to you. I mean, your risk prioritization depends on where you are in the market, where an AI company is going to take more risk than the airport or a medical facility, or it just depends on how well you know yourself, how well you know where you're kings of the kingdom. I'm a CIS controls, you know, maniac. You know, do you know what applications you have? Do you know what hardware you have? Are you identifying your users? Are you using MFA? It's the traditional thing, traditional stack. Are you, you know, what regulatory items are you supposed to be adhering to? So, I mean, it's the same questions over and over again, whether you're dealing with AI, whether you're dealing with cloud, whether you're dealing with a mom and pop, just knowing yourself and understanding that it is going to happen. And do you have those incident response plans? Are your people ready?
So it's mitigating the risk, basically. So looking at, okay, if this did happen, right, worst case scenario, kind of like insurance, right, then what do I do, or what is my next step to be able to recover from it, and how quickly can I recover?
And knowing and having that practice, if you have an incident response plan that you haven't touched since last year when you update it, there's a certain amount of adrenaline in the moment where your people need to have those experiences. You need to understand that this happens to the best. Microsoft is going through it today. Idaho National Labs, CISA, Cisco. So I think we're desensitized to the idea that it's going to happen. I mean, we're numb with the number of breaches that have happened, and AI continues to move that forward. So,
oh, of course, yeah, absolutely. I've been really doing a lot of deep dive into AI, and I see the platforms that are. Some of them are built by cybersecurity professionals, so it's extracted from, say, a client's infrastructure, and it's supposed to be purged on, you know, a certain frequency. But then there's other people who are adapting to AI, and they're just like, hey, all pushing
on the flag.
Yeah.
On the flag.
Right. Did you put any controls in there? Do you know what it's accessing?
Who needs controls?
Exactly. And then I've heard personally from some other sources of women in tech that, you know, they're an accounting firm, for example, they've had some major lawsuits because AI is actually giving access or giving information that should be on a need to know basis to other people. And it's not basically, you know, kind of processed through completely. Like
again, that takes you back to where you are in the industry. You know, These free models, they're not free. Every piece of information that your employees are putting into those models, it's teaching it. There have been documented cases, and I won't put anyone on blast, that, you know, proprietary information has been released because someone was checking the grammar in their email.
Yep, and people,
and it can be that simple.
There's a concept of human in the middle, keeping the human in the middle so they can basically gauge. But the person that's in the middle has to be educated enough to understand the impact of the business and the information that they're putting out there. And so I think that's a big opportunity.
And I see it in cities. I see it in airports. I mean, everyone has the first adopters. With Broward, we're taking a very measured approach to how we're, you know, rolling out AI in our environment. And it's just for the safety of our constituents. We don't want anything to affect our folks, our teams, our port, our airport, our parks. And it's a snowball type effect, because if it hurts Broward County, that means it hurts Tamarack, it hurts Hollywood, it hurts everyone that we, all of our valued partners. So we want to keep the wheels on the bus.
I'm so happy to hear that Broward is doing that. It's great. You know, I'm a Broward County resident. So absolutely. Yay, Broward.
It can be measured.
So great. So naturally, women in tech, right? What are some of the challenges that you faced as a woman in cybersecurity for our audience? This is very as the industry has emerged over the years. You and I started a long time ago, but
just a couple of years.
But I wanted to highlight some of those challenges and how you overcame them for other folks that are on the call or looking to get in IT, dealing with similar issues.
People ask me all the time, how do I deal with it? I try not to see it. You know, the starting line in my dissertation is, you're not getting the IT guy, you're getting me. I know that I worked very hard. I'm probably my worst critic. I let it fuel me. You belong here. And that statement's not just directed at ladies. It's the neurodiverse. It's transgender. It's anyone who has a skill to offer up. Because as we know, the cybersecurity workforce needs some help, and we're overall losing the battle. So it takes me back to my dissertation and how I got here. You know, I've been very blessed in my career because there has been a mentor woman along the way in all my career positions, whether it was Deb Reach, whether it's Angela Scott today. I didn't know that it was this bad. So, you know, I tell this story quite a few times. How did I end up, you know, getting a doctorate? You know, what did I see? I was out looking for the cybersecurity Girl Scout badge, and was it 2019 September? And I was reading just the disparity that women go through, and not to mention women of color. Let's throw it out there. There weren't even statistics on that at the time. So it kind of drove me. It was, you know, trying to understand what factors affect, you know, prosperity for someone who looks like us. It's a tough road. And my research shows it wasn't just mentorship, it was sponsorship. You have to make those connections, you have to network, and it's about showing up fully as me. My locks, my cape, just being me and doing what I know I need to do as a professional. And I don't care if you're male, I don't care if you're female, I don't care if you're a giant frog. I need you to come here and do your job. So you know, I see a lot of young folks who are in positions that they're upset a bad company doesn't want them. And we have to understand our own self-worth. We have to understand that not every environment is meant for us. You know, seasons happen and you go somewhere and you learn what you're supposed to learn. And then, you know, if God moves you or whoever you serve moves you to a different place, that's okay. Because the only thing that's constant in life is God's love and change.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love what you just said. And in so many ways, again, whether it's personal or in business, you are what you're bringing to the table. And a lot of times it's about how we're showing up, about our self-confidence. I always have a saying about making sure you have a seat at the table. But you got to make sure where you're sitting, to your point, is where you want to be seated.
And not all places are good places. And if you're fighting an uphill battle and there is no win in sight, love yourself. you know, one of the things that we struggle with as technology folks is that work-life balance. And we do have a difficult job. We were at a speaking session at the ISSA meeting earlier, like end of last week, and the guy was like, you know, people sell cyber and technology as an easy win. It's not about, you know, self, you know, just grabbing a certification and now I'm you know, an $80,000 employee. Now you got to put in work, and it's a continuous lifelong. I go hashtag lifetime learner, because it's constantly changing. So for those who love this, you will love it. You will be engaged. There is never a dull moment. For those who are in this discipline for the long for the wrong reasons, you won't last.
Right. If it's just for money, then yeah. Because I think that is another thing that people think, that technology is already changing all the time, right? And so you have to stay up to date. Right. And then when it comes to cybersecurity, and under that umbrella, there's so many different divisions of it, right?
That's the beautiful part, though. That's the beautiful part, though. If you get this skill set, it applies absolutely everywhere. Double that with some project management and some basic common sense. You can show up to a finance firm. You can show up in HR. You can show up in operations. You can show up in maintenance. You can show up in technology and add value to your organization, which I think is what any real professional wants to do. It's not about just getting the money. It's about being satisfied and, you know, being fulfilled with what you're doing.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Beautifully said. Oh, I'm so impressed. I'm so happy for you, actually, for what you're doing, because you are actually leading for other people that want to fit and grow into that role. And that's what we need more of.
I don't see it like that. I giggle. Like, I love interacting with the students. I love speaking. One of my important things is, I don't think people discount the world that is, you know, post-COVID. We need to focus on being more positive. There's enough negativity in the atmosphere right now. People are in different places, and we have to respect, you know, limitations. I get it. You know, respect your 3 feet of personal space, but be the person you admire. Make that choice. Be positive. Follow through. Be of service. And you'll find that life is happier. And I truly believe that.
It's true. And it goes back to that village. I always call it the village. That's my thing. The village, whether it's in business or personal, I always correlate it to the same, because it actually works in lockstep. Things are good at home. Things are good in business. Things are good in business. Things are good at home. And you just have to have those core people around you that make a difference in your life in a positive way, because like you said, it's very easy to have people that will bring you down or present that negative energy, and it transcends into your life and your career in so many different ways. And it's hard.
It affects your cells. It affects your body. I've seen what negativity can do, and I just choose not to. Like, years back, I went to see Michelle Obama, and I took my daughter when she came to Sunrise, and she spoke truth. It was just truth to words. It was just, I need to change here in my mind and see things differently, because a person can only hurt you if you let them. Yeah. A person can only offend you if you let them.
Right.
So if you go into a situation with your eyes wide open, and if a snake's a snake, know it's a snake and be okay with it. Like, I'm okay with not agreeing with everyone. I'm going to be my honest, genuine self. And if we don't get along, I'm cool with that, because I'm not everybody's flavor. But we will do what we're supposed to. We will do what we have to make sure that we're maintaining the things that we need to take care of.
That's right. Be who you are. Can't be anybody else but yourself. That's great. So with that in mind, then, what about, so folks that are looking to get into the cybersecurity industry, what are some tips that you would give them?
Find out where you want to be. There are lots of avenues that we can take. And I'm GRC, security compliance. I don't code. I spunk a little bit. But it is such a diverse field. So whether you go into compliance, whether you're a server admin or a systems admin or application, or what you're going to do doesn't exist. You know, there weren't AI positions. You know, our degrees are not in cybersecurity. One thing we discussed earlier, it is a constant change. So be open to trying something different and find out what your fit is. There are so many avenues. Try cyber. There's hack, you know, try HackMe. There's so many different free platforms that you can take a look at to, you know, to find your fit. I would say network and get out into the community, get involved, for you can see the the different avenues that exist. One of my favorite sites right now is cyberseek.org, and it has all of the information about the open positions across the U.S. So you can tie that back to the NIST NICE framework. You can, you know, reach out to your community members like your ISSAs or your ISACAs or your WISES, or, you know, there's so many organizations out there where you can get involved and, you know, find out. And, you know, the important part is that you fall in love, whether it's network, whether it's server, whether it's compliance, whether it's a little bit of everything, whether it's AI. You know, if a newcomer is coming in, you're not going to go wrong learning about AI. So,
sure. Good, good, good. So in a high pressure industry, what are some things that you utilize or some tools that you utilize to cope?
Self-care. Our job is hard. And if you've applied all of the learning skills and your technical skills, you have to be your best you emotionally to handle this. And particularly women are put at a different standard when it comes to being emotional and how you carry yourself. I think all of society right now, we're not very balanced. And that leads to problems across the board, whether you say in your personal or your professional life. I try to stay up on technology, and I'm constantly trying to learn. My office husband at work, he's just kind of like, no one cares if you get another certification. I said, no, I don't do it for, I don't do it for other people. I do it for me. You know, I have to make sure, you know, I giggle when they call me the subject matter expert. I'm like, we're in trouble if I'm your subject matter expert, because there's so much I don't know. So everyone goes, oh, I want to be the best. No, just be engaged, because you're not going to know everything. Definitely not.
Oh, and, you know, seek resources. And yeah, absolutely. It's just like when you're interviewing people, I always believe that you don't have to have all the skills, but you have to want it. You have to have the desire.
I would rather have a person who's willing to learn than have a person in front of me who claims they know everything.
Exactly.
And then women, we're the worst at that for ourselves, because we'll look at a job description and there'll be 10 items. If we don't match all 10 of those items, we're not applying. But in other situations, men, if they meet 3, that's much. So we have to be there to encourage each other. I giggle when they say an entry-level cybersecurity position, because I don't believe that exists. Because, you know, I've read through some of them, and we're actually, CyberMinds is looking into research on, you know, how do we better equip this next generation. I have a couple of Girl Scouts that I work with that are at FAU, and they're like, well, I don't know what I want to do. And they're juniors, and they haven't had that hands-on experience, and they're expected to go out and get jobs, and student loans start kicking in, and they really don't know what they want to do.
Yep, you definitely don't want to make those type of costly mistakes. So with that in mind, for the folks out there that want to get engaged in cybersecurity or AI or anything in the technical industry, what would you recommend or suggest for them to get involved?
Try the different websites. Try to get involved in your neighborhood. So like I said, ISSA, ISACA, WISES, any organization, even the high schools now have cybersecurity clubs. Your local university, if you're enrolled right now, get involved with the Ethical Hackers Club. Get involved with Capture the Flags. You need to figure out what you like to do. It doesn't have to be a life choice. You can change it in 6 months, but you need to understand that path. Organizations like SANS, I still to this very day go out and look at how they're divvying up the field. They have training paths and maps, and it's an expensive endeavor sometimes with them, but they give you a very good basis on where the different paths, whether it's forensic, whether it's incident response, whether it's leadership, Google, I love the what they're doing with their cybersecurity classes. I think every Cisco, Tenable, all of Splunk. I mean, it depends on what you enjoy as a professional. And the only way that you figure that out is that you try stuff.
Exactly. You don't know until you do it. Yep. Okay. Excellent. And speaking of CyberMinds Research Institute. Right. Tongue twisted. Tell me about that. What made you start that?
I fell in love with the group that I went and got my doctorates with. So I was the baby in the group. And if it wasn't for Dr. Honey, if it wasn't for Dr. Hicks, if it wasn't for Dr. Weeks, Dr. Gamarez, Dr. Knowles, I would not be a doctor. I went down to St. Thomas, met this amazing group of people, and we just kind of helped. They're my tribe. Amazing group. And we created a nonprofit. So a think tank, a research tank. Each of us have a very specific discipline. So we have an operations guy. We have a healthcare guy. We have a nonprofit guy. We have a critical infrastructure lady. We have a big four guy. We have it's a very diverse group. And we still meet every Saturday. And while we were in school, we supported each other through our dissertation process. And now we're building out the CyberMinds Research Institution. Like I said, we focus on critical infrastructure K-12 and helping older adults deal in this cyber digital world. The goal is to help people, help small businesses, help critical infrastructure. Some of the things that are coming up for us, we have a very full fall coming in. We'll be supporting ISSA and their Hack the Flag. B-Side, South Florida will be launching. ISACA has their She Leads conference in October. We'll be out supporting Palm Beach State College with their Cybersecurity Week. And we also have our first flagship opportunity. We'll be doing the Broward County Cybersecurity Critical Infrastructure Summit in October as well, the beginning of October. So it's just doing the things we love.
You're showing up. I love it. You're showing up.
Trying to. We're, prepping some grants with CyberMinds. But when the fall comes back, we're preparing for the summit. We have, a lot of organizations having their different activities. So it's going to be an amazing rest of the year.
Sounds like a busy year, but a great year. So this is really
good. It's never a dull moment. But it's all good.
Can't wait to see, where we go with this. South Florida in particular being the market where now it's becoming more of a technology hub. I'm seeing
it. That's the goal.
It is. Coming from big cities like Atlanta, that's always been a tech hub, right? But then coming down here, I've seen it over the years just emerge. And it's very exciting to see what we're doing. And as a community, as a tribe, as a village, we're bringing it together and we're making these things happen.
It's the diversity down here. There's no reason why we should not be the mecca of technology in this state, because we have the most amazing, just privileged and intelligent community where if we put the energy in the right place, we can do amazing things.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, I thank you for your time. I really do appreciate this. I'm so happy to see you again. And looking forward to working with you and partnering with you on some of these initiatives.
And one more time for the audience, reach out to you via
LinkedIn. Hit me up on Instagram. I'm always around.
Ladies Talk Cyber with your host,
Tasha B.
Powered by South Florida Community Roundup Show.
This podcast was powered by Intellex and by Dex Imaging.
If you would like to sponsor the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me, David N. Reese, and the number is 954-658-2196. Once again, 954-658-2196. Or feel free to email me at David N. Reese, that's spelled DavidNReece, at email.com. See you next time.
Every day, taking care of business.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.